All right. Good morning once again to everyone. I hope that everyone is in a great mood this morning, in a happy mood, in a thankful mood, because this is week number two of our Thanksgiving sermon series. I bet you can't guess what I'm going to preach about. Gratitude, thankfulness, the like, right? Now, I'm going to do everybody a favor. I'm going to pause. If anybody came here without gratitude in their heart, I'm going to give you an opportunity to walk right out the door and come right back in with a different attitude, right? Just to give you a start over right off the bat. Anybody? Anybody? All right, everybody's good then. If you're not there, it's not my fault. I hope that you're there. And if you're not there, I hope that by the time we leave here, you're at least halfway there, if not all the way there with us. Because there's nothing better than being thankful, being grateful, and having your mind, as we said last week, focused on the things above, right? And just leave everything here in things that are distracting us from who we are in Christ. Leave everything in the Lord's hands that are bigger than us, right? Because we're not God. We can't do anything about some things in the world, right? So we just have to be thankful and thank God we have a God who cares about us enough to be involved in our lives. Ain't that great? I got to tell y'all, I'm pretty happy this morning. Bet you can't guess why. Now, I was thinking about this last night. Try to get through this pretty quickly. I was thinking about this last night. I got to preach this sermon. I get to preach this sermon about gratitude and Thanksgiving, right? And Alabama's playing LSU, which is a pretty good team most of the time. So I was expecting it to be a pretty good football game, which I like. And I can remember saying to myself, I better talk to God about how am I going to be able to preach about gratitude if we end up losing this game tonight. It's possible. I just said, you know, how can you be thankful when your team lost? Nobody has any sympathy for me because Alabama doesn't lose, and everybody, you either hate them or you love them, right? Don't hate me because I'm an Alabama fan. I'm just the way it is. So I'm asking God last night. I'm saying, God, I said, if we lose this game, how can I still be thankful and have gratitude for Alabama football and just being from Alabama and all that stuff? Of course, you know, I was halfway not even serious, but I was talking to God about it because I'm thinking about my sermon and all of that. And I like to think it was God, but I think it was me. But I heard this in my heart. I heard this, well, if you lose to LSU, the LSU Tigers, you can be thankful that it wasn't the Auburn Tigers or Clemson Tigers. Just a little fun, just saying. That's always a way to be thankful, right? Don't be mad. Don't be mad. If you've ever had children and you've ever taken them to a grocery store or any other store for that matter when they were youngins, like little ones, right? You understand this next story. You understand some of the struggles that go along with that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 17 if you want to find your place with me. So this lady, she takes her young child to the grocery store because they got to buy groceries. And she's on a budget. She doesn't make a whole lot of money, but she makes enough to feed them. But she doesn't have enough money to get extras. So when you don't have a lot of money, you make a grocery list and you kind of stay to it because you're on a budget. You just can't just buy whatever you want to buy. That's most people that I know. And she gets everything in the cart on the list. And as they go by these bananas, little Joey looks up at his mom and says, I want a banana. Of course, kids always want something when you take them to the grocery store. That's why when I was a kid, I was told sometimes don't ask for nothing. Don't touch nothing because you ain't getting it. Right? And I don't think it was because we didn't have the money. It's just because I was always asking for something. I was always wanting something, just like every other kid. You can't take a kid in the store without them wanting something. They've already got it in their mind when they're going in the front door of all the things that they're already going to look for. And little Joey, all he wanted was a banana. And mom felt so bad because she had already filled up the cart with what she had the money to buy on her list. And she had to tell little Joey, so that's not on the list, Joey. We'll get it next time. And Joey got all sad and kind of arguing a little bit with his mama, and Mama was feeling bad because she couldn't get any more bananas because she had already filled up the cart. Of course, a lot of y'all are saying, why don't you just get the bananas, put something back? But that's not the way it was for her. She had things that they needed. And here they are in the line, and little Joey's little lip starting to quiver a little bit because he can't get his banana. He's got that pouty face on, right, you know, that we all know how to do. We still know how to do it even though we're adults. We just don't get away with it like little kids do. Well, a good friend of Joey's mama came walking by, and she realized that Joey wanted a banana because she had overheard the conversation between Joey and his mama. And she had bananas in her cart, so she just went ahead and bought Joey a banana. And, of course, you know, Mama just went ahead and let that happen, and Joey was happy, and Mama was happy, but Mama looked at Joey and said, well, what do you say to the lady? And Joey looked down at his banana and looked at the lady and handed it back to her and said, peel it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Joey's mama at that moment? Now, just think about that story. I want you to think about that story as we look into Luke chapter 17, right? Because Luke chapter 17 is going to, show us a similar, except yet more serious situation, right, of lack of gratitude, I would say. Now, it probably wasn't Joey's fault. He's not old enough to really understand what's wrong with that. All right, so verse 11 in chapter 17, we pick it up where it says, now on this day, verse 11, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And verse 14, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Verse 17 says, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. So immediately you can see the situation between Joey and his mama and Jesus and these fellas, right? Let's learn some things from this as we continue to look at gratitude and thankfulness and how it affects our relationship not only with God, but with each other and the world. And I would even go so far as to say it affects our relationship with ourselves. But you didn't know you have a relationship with yourself. You either like yourself some days or you don't. You're either mad at yourself or you're happy with yourself. You're proud of yourself or you're discouraged with yourself. You have a relationship with yourself, right? And sometimes that's a great thing if it honors God, but then other times it can be a sinful thing if it becomes something that doesn't honor God, right? So let's focus on these things and learn. Because see, verse 12 through 14, it says this, as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So right away, we notice that there's these 10 men who have leprosy. If you don't know about leprosy, at the time, it was the worst disease there was, and it was highly contagious, and nobody wanted it. In fact, so much so that if you had leprosy, that you were to stay away from the population. You can only hang out with other people that had leprosy. And that's why these 10 men are together. And that's why it says they were a ways off and they stood and yelled out to Jesus, hey, Master, have mercy on us, right? Because this sickness would cause limbs to fall off. It's a slow death is what it is. And it's a disease that over time, and if you went into the colonies where the lepers were living together, it would stink so bad that you couldn't hardly stay there. Unless you were used to living within it. It's terrible. So here they are walking together because they don't have anybody else but themselves. And notice, by the way, just a side note, this man who ends up coming back to thank Jesus and worship him, He was a Samaritan. The rest of them were not. Right? So it just goes to show that when we're all sick, we kind of ignore our differences. And when we all have the same issue, we can get past the differences of life. Because when they weren't sick, the Jewish people didn't have nothing to do with the Samaritans. They wouldn't even be around each other. Doesn't that sound familiar today? We're all sick with sin. We're all in the same boat. So take note there. All right, back to the main point here. These men were very aware of themselves. Now, obviously, they were aware that they were sick with leprosy. Can't ignore that. I mean, it was bad. But they were more aware of themselves because they knew that Jesus could do something about their sickness. They recognized Jesus as their master, as Lord. And they recognized that he didn't have to do anything about it if he didn't want to. So they're very aware of their situation. And they're very aware that there's nothing at all that they could have done about it to make it different. Does that sound familiar? The people who submit to Jesus as the Christ are the ones who are very aware that they're lost in their sin. And that the sin is the death of them should they not have any rescue, any help. And there's only one we know that can help, right? And it's only when someone turns to Jesus, which we'll get to that in a minute, and says, I need help, and will you help me, believing that he can and will, can that sickness be healed. Keep that in your mind as we move forward. They knew who Jesus was, and they knew who they were, and they understood their condition. This is the foundation of allowing gratitude and thankfulness to be a part of who you are. Okay? There's no way that you can be thankful, and you can say thank you, and you can be polite to others, but I'm talking about genuine gratitude. It's not a decision, it's a product of who you are and where you are with Christ. You understand where we're going now? So they knew what Jesus was capable of, and that's the faith part of everything. So then we move to verses 13 and 14. Here's what they did because of what they knew, and they were aware of their self-awareness. They turned to Jesus. Now, I don't suspect, and I don't know for sure, that they were actually walking around looking for Jesus. It seems to me that this is just one of them situations where Jesus was on the way somewhere, and then they just happened to be walking at a distance, and they were like, hey, that's that Jesus guy. And if you came into a situation where someone could solve your problem right then, wouldn't you stop everything? Right? How many people are waiting for Ed McMahon to knock on their front door? I know he's not around anymore. Somebody else is doing it. But y'all know what I mean. You understand what I'm saying? If your problem can be solved, your whole world, your whole day would stop. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to fix this real quick. And I don't have to worry about it no more. Then pops the question in my mind, why do we walk around in our sin when we don't have to? Because we love our sin. That's the answer. Verses 13 and 14 says, And they raised their voices, saying, they yelled out loud. They weren't yelling at Jesus. They were yelling loud enough for him to hear them because they weren't allowed to go near anybody. One, because they're lepers. They were diseased. And really, also because he's Jesus. You don't just approach the Lord. You don't approach a king without being summoned. That's the custom in the day. You don't just walk up to a king without him asking for you to come. Make sense to y'all? So they know that he's the Lord, and they know who he is, and they understand their situation. So they're just like, hey, let's get his attention. Hey, we're over here. How many times do you feel like you're waving your hands for Jesus to notice something in your life? Do you even see what's going on, God? I'm right here. This is going on, and I need help. Right? If you were stranded on a desert island and you needed to get off because there was no food and it was horrible, wouldn't you do everything you could do to get the attention of anybody in the world? This is where they are. Because they are going to die from this disease. And it wasn't just anybody walking by. So he says, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Remember when we talked not too long ago about the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus taught the disciples when they asked, how do we talk to God? He said, here's how you do it. And he presented this format for them. You talk to God by approaching him as if he is God, because he is. You recognize him as God, and then you humbly come before him with all these different things. You don't just walk up to God like he's a coworker down the street or some neighbor that you don't know or some stranger at the gas station, right? So they approach God. They approach Jesus, and they said, Jesus, Master, letting Jesus know that they recognize him as Lord. There's a proper recognition to God. And way too many times, we as believers, as Christians today, we go through our daily prayer time just spouting out prayers and never acknowledging God as our Lord. And never acknowledging him as the master of our lives. Remember that? We talked about that last week. Letting the peace of Christ be the Lord of your heart. Letting him be in charge of you. That's what it means to surrender to Christ. Right? And he says, the request is, have mercy. All of us, we all have requests. We all go to God with a list of requests, don't we? Nothing wrong at all with that. I have a list that it seems like when God answers one prayer, for some reason I have to have two or three more things put on the bottom of the list. That's just life, isn't it? And it seems to me, sometimes I feel bad about that. I'm just like, why am I so needy to God all the time? But at the same time, I'm so grateful that I can make a list and that he's okay with that. Because he already knows what the list is anyway. And sometimes he has to show me his list for my life. Which is way more important than my list for my life. So it's okay to request, but request in an appropriate manner. If we approach God as if he owes us something, or that he has to do something just because we say, in Jesus' name, or because he said he's God and he'll answer our prayers, then we are sadly out of line in the presence of our Lord. Wouldn't you all agree with that? It's by the grace of God and the blood of Christ that we can even enter into his presence. That's explained to us in the book of Hebrews, isn't it? It's only by the blood of Christ that we can even be in the presence of God because of our sin. Are we thankful yet? Are we grateful now? I mean, if we want to look at our list, that's fine. If we can look at God's list, but at the top of both lists ought to be that Jesus is the Christ and it's his blood that covers our sin, which allows us to be in the presence of a holy God who loves us. And then suddenly I don't even really feel like reading the rest of my list a lot of times. Because as we said last week, isn't that enough? Would that be enough for you? If you went the rest of your life, and you went to God appropriately, and you went through your list of requests every time, and you did that for the rest of your life, and God never changed anything that was on your list, would you still feel blessed? Would you still be grateful for him? Right? That's the goal. We all say, yeah, I would be grateful, and I want, but the reality is we continuously, sometimes we are just not grateful. We live a day where we're just like, something's wrong and our list isn't getting met, our needs aren't being, we got all these worries and we've lost our focus. Right? Now, please understand that I'm not trying to knock anybody down at all. My goal today is to make sure that we leave here with more gratitude than we had when we came. You can't get enough gratitude for the Lord because God is endless, right? You can't get to the end of God, so why should we ever find an end to our gratitude over him? Hello? What does it look like when you call out to Jesus? I'm not saying there's a right or wrong, specifically. I think there's many different ways to call out to the Lord, right? I think there's many different ways throughout each day, throughout our lives, that we can cry out to God. Sometimes we cry out in desperate ways. Sometimes we find ourselves in our prayer closet, in our home, and nobody else around, on our face before God, right? Helpless. Because of whatever stresses are going on in life. And we know there's no answer aside from God's help. And side note, that's the best place we could ever be. Understand that hope, right? Because once we get past the point where we think we can take care of it, then we're in the place where God wants us to be, totally surrendered to Him and His abilities. Isn't that great? Oh, how I wish we could live there every day of our lives, all the time. That's why we need Jesus, because we can't. What does it look like? Does it look like these guys? Does when you cry out to God every time, whether it's just, help me find my way down this road because I'm lost, right? Help me figure out what to do about this little problem that just come up, and it's nothing significant, but it's okay to call on God for that, right? He's our God. Give me direction. What should I do about my kids, my children? I love them to death, and I know I'm just babysitting your kids, God, but I can only take so much. You been there? You don't have to say amen, because I know the kids are around. They know they're running you ragged sometimes. But you're running them ragged too, right? This is why we need Jesus. This is why we need to be able to approach Him honestly. These men could not hide their condition from the world. Everybody knew they were lepers. So why would they go to Jesus and act like they didn't need Him? It was obvious that they needed some help that they couldn't get anywhere else. So they were like, hey, please have mercy on us. Right? Even when we don't feel desperate, we need to recognize the Master, our God. Genuine gratitude is a result of calling out on Jesus. Because it's the times we don't call on Jesus is when we think we can master this problem. Isn't it funny how sometimes that's the last thing we do is call on the Lord? It's only after we've been to every friend we have. It's only after we've read every book we can find on self-help. It's only after we've spent all our money trying to figure out the solution to a problem. And then we have to ask everybody on Facebook for answers to our problem. And then suddenly, now we want to talk to Jesus. Shouldn't He be the first? Because He's the only one that has the answer. And I want y'all to know, I'm just as guilty as anybody else when it comes to all that stuff. And it's horrible. Because once you come to a realization that that's where you are, you're just like, why do I do that? Because it's almost like sometimes I feel like God. It's like God is just standing around. He's like this here. And He's just watching me run around trying to solve my problems and do my life. And then when I finally get it together and I come to God, I'm like, I tried this, this, and this, and this, and I don't know why that didn't work. Seemed like a good plan to me. And God's like, you finished? Because I can tell you what to do, and I can make this happen just like that. But whenever you're ready, you just let me know. Do you ever feel like God's saying that to you? It's a waste of energy. All that energy we spend could be energy spent on being grateful to God, being thankful about other people in your life, being a blessing to the world, serving the kingdom of God. Don't get discouraged because some of that, what I just talked about, some of our faults, God uses for our witness to show who He is in this world. That doesn't mean we go out and keep doing it. It just means that God's got this. It's okay. You can make some mistakes and He can fix it. So you're not going to ruin God's plan. Just let you know that. So verse 14, which we read a minute ago, he said, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. Now, that is because the custom was, whenever anybody experienced a miracle, what they thought was a miracle, they would have to go to the priests, and the priest would examine whatever said miracle, and they would decide if this was of God or not. They would okay it. They would sign off on, okay, this is an actual miracle. It's a divine situation. It is of God. And therefore, we can call it a miracle. I hope that none of you believe that God needs any of us to verify what He does and who He is. I hope that nobody here, anybody listening to me, believes that we can actually validate what God is doing as right or wrong or true or false. Because that's what they were doing. So why would Jesus send them over there? Why would Jesus say, go show yourself to the priest? This is one of the things that I love about God. God is always, always, always confronting anything or anybody or any other God that wants to say that they're bigger than him. And he's always tearing them down. Not because he's a hateful God, because he's God. And he's not going to have another God over him. No matter if it's people or some other God that somebody creates. Or even if it's self, which is the biggest God that people have. So he said, go show yourself to the priest, see what they say about it. And it was really, this is Jesus' way of showing the priest that he's God. This is what got him killed, by the way. Dramatic pause so you can say praise the Lord. Yeah. Because as was mentioned in our communion meditation, had Jesus' prayer been answered that there'd be some other way and he didn't die, where would we be? Ain't that? It's horrible that Jesus had to die the way he did, and it's sad, and we wish it didn't have to happen, but thank God it did happen. And you think about it. You think about the entire ordeal. And how dramatic it really was. I don't think that any of us can come up with a thought or words or even some kind of movie, which has been tried and has been shown to be pretty powerful, right? But I don't believe anybody can really show what it was like. The impact that was there, the day that all of this beating and spitting on and cursing and whipping and killing happened to our Savior. Right? And he says, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, look what it says. They were cleansed. They were clean. They were healed of this sickness. Because when a person had leprosy, they were to walk around, and if anybody came near them, they were to yell out, I'm unclean. Stay away, I'm unclean. It's not even close, but it's similar to when someone has a cold or the flu, and they come to church, and so you reach out your hand, you want to hug them, and they're like, oh, you don't want to touch me, I'm sick. Multiply that by about 1 million, right? And that's the way it was for the leper. I'm unclean. How would you like to walk around and tell the world every day that you're unclean? Especially for the American Christian, that's really tough, isn't it? It's really tough. We need each other. We need physical and emotional and mental. We need fellowship with each other. That's what we're created for. And because of sickness, we can't have that unless we join with other people who are sick. So he says, he gave him instructions. Now, notice this. And I got to hurry up. Notice this. Every time we say to God, I want something, or can you do something, or will you help me with this, whatever the request is, we need to be ready for some instructions. Because God is not our genie in a bottle. We don't just say what we want and poof, and there it is. Many times, almost every time, God will give instructions on what to do based on what you've asked for him or of him. So he gave him instructions. He said, go show yourself to the priest. So they turned around and started to go show themselves to the priest. Every time when he healed somebody, he would tell them to go wash in a pool or go show yourself to the priest after you do that and then come back. Or whatever he told them to do, they would just turn around and go do it. And healing happened. The prayer was answered. Right? The priests weren't going to do anything. They were healed. As soon as they turned around and said, okay, let's go. And as soon as they turned around, they noticed they were healed. Like two, maybe a step or two. And they're like, oh. Were you? Think about that. Now, don't raise your hand. You ask yourself, where is my list of thanks for all the answered prayers of last week? You ask yourself that. I have to ask myself, right? And I hope that we have one. I hope that each of us has one. And I hope that we know where it is. And I hope that we've recently, I hope we looked at it this morning. And added to it. That's what I hope for you all. I hope that for myself. I hope that we're in the habit of keeping a longer list of thanks and gratitude things than we do of requests for God. So they acted. Jesus gave them instructions. Are you ready to act on what Jesus instructs? Here's our instructions right here, by the way. Right? Many times people come to me and say, I've been asking God to help me with this problem, or what should I do? Or my prayers aren't being answered. It's just take. And the first question I'm going to ask you is, what does Scripture say? And what have you talked to God yet? Because if you're coming to me before you go to God or His Word, you're going to the wrong place. The preacher is not going to solve your problems. And the preacher is going to go to God with you, for sure. We're going to go to God together. We're going to trust God together. We're going to walk together, because that's what we do. But the preachers, we don't have the answers. We're not God. We're just like you. We're going to God with our own list. Don't stop coming to the preacher for help and advice. Just know that you got to talk to God. And just know that we're going to talk about what God said. A lot of times people don't want to hear what God said because it means they can't have what they're asking for sometimes. Or it means they get an answer they're not looking for. Are we ready to act when God responds to our prayers? Are we ready to do that? Now, we're not saved by the works, but the works are a result of what we believe. Do we trust God? Do we believe that He's the Lord? Do we believe that He's our Savior? Do we believe that He is bigger than anything in this world? So when He says, do this or go there, or trust me, or many times He says in the Scriptures, do not fear, do not worry. Are we ready to act? Genuine gratitude is a result of our obedient faith. That's what repentance and baptism is all about. Not saved by repentance, by baptism. You're saved because you repented, because you believed, because you trust that Jesus is the Christ and He's our Lord. Every time we believe something, it should cause action. It should cause us to be thankful. Now, verse 15 to 19, we'll go through this kind of quickly. This one guy, he says when he saw that he had been healed, that's right after he turned around and took a step, it says he turned back, glorifying God with what? A loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him being Jesus. Took a step, oh, I'm healed. Turned around, fell on his face, and with a loud voice said, thank you, Jesus. So it is okay for us to say out loud what we believe about God and how we feel about Him. Not to be crazy about it if you don't want to, but it's okay to say thank God or praise the Lord. It's okay. It's matter of fact, it's appropriate. It's called for. Especially when we're out in the world. Now, how many of y'all, if you were standing in the street at downtown Asheville somewhere, and you cross the street and you didn't see the bus coming, but somebody else grabbed you by the arm and pulled you off back on the sidewalk just in time to miss the bus that flew by and grazed your shirt? And had that person not pulled you back on the sidewalk, you'd be dead right now. Would you not, or tell me if you would or would not out loud say, thank God I didn't get hit by that bus? I hear people almost every day get up in the morning and say, thank God I got another day to live. Right? But are we living like we're thankful to God for the life that we have? Not just the physical life, but the spiritual life. We were dead men and women walking in our sin. And by the grace of God and the blood of Christ, we were spared from that death. Isn't that amazing? Are we falling at the feet of Jesus, and are we out loud saying, praise God, glory be to God, because we're saved from death? Is that how we're living our life? Are we living our life because somebody died for us? Do people know that somebody died for us by the way we're living our life? Here's the question that was asked. And this is crucial. Take this home with you if you don't take anything else. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? The 9, where are they? Where are them other fellows at? This is Jesus, the one who died on the cross and bled, was beaten horrifically, innocent. And He says, I died for all those people. Where are they at? I died for everybody. Where are they?
The question is, was no one found to who returned to give glory to God? Way, way, way too many people who are say that they are believers and saved by the blood of Christ are not sitting in church right now worshiping Him. Some of them it's because they have a reason, they have to work or whatever, but there's many of them that just didn't want to get up this morning. Hello? I'm guilty. Even the preacher can be guilty. There's times when the preacher is like, I don't even want to go to church this morning for whatever reason. It happens. Sometimes the preacher shows up because he has to be there. But there's something going on in here and in here that's just distracting him from what's really happening. The opportunity to get up and come in here and preach the gospel and praise God with other believers. Isn't that awesome? How could we say, I don't want to do that, when we know that this man, Jesus, this God, He died so that we don't have to go to hell? You get it? This is why every Sunday morning when we come in here, I pray that people who are deciding not to come to church, that God, His Spirit would do something in their hearts to make them say, you know what, I'm just going to go. Because there's a battle in their heart and in their minds. And Satan is trying to pull each one of you away from God. Satan don't care nothing about you. Satan comes after you because God loves you. And if he can get you away from him, he thinks he's hurting God. You see? Even when we're in the worst mood, we got the worst headache, the worst spiritual battle of our lives, we need to get up every day and say, I'm serving the Lord today. I don't care what happens. You watch, me and God, we're going to do this. Even if 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever time you get up, you got to fake it until noon. You need to do that. Right? Because I'm telling you, the God that I know, by the time you get to noon, you're going to be grateful. You're going to know that He's with you, and you're going to know that He's giving you what you need for that day. Because why? Because you called out on Him, and you recognized Him for who He is, even though you were still sick. God, we have the best thing ever. God help us when we fail to do these things. Was no one found who returned to give glory to God? Do you think that Jesus, I think Jesus is going to say that when He shows up. When He returns, He's returning to see who loves Him. He's returning to see who recognizes Him as the Christ. And when He comes back into this world, as Jesus Himself told us He would, He's going to be looking around and say, okay, where's my people at? And here's the sad part, is there going to be a bunch of people run up to Him and say, Jesus! And He's like, I don't even know who you are. Because you never worshiped me, you never thanked me, we weren't around when you got healed, and you never lived your life for me. I don't know who you are. Not because He hates them, it's because you don't have a relationship with Him. And you didn't live like somebody died for you. Those people are going to be it's just going to be sad for them. More than sad. It's the ones that can have genuine gratitude because of their faith. Because of they know God and who He is and trust in that and leave everything else to Him. So, if we're going to have an awesome Thanksgiving, a Thanksgiving that honors God, a Thanksgiving that brings people into the presence of God, we're going to be people who display genuine gratitude. Not fake gratitude. Not just putting on a show, not just pretending, but genuine. And it's because we have self-awareness, we've turned to Jesus, and respond in obedience to our faith. All of this creates thankful hearts. They fell on their face before God because they had been healed from something that nobody gets healed from. Something that no one can heal them from. No doctor, no physician, no magician. No other God could fix that problem for them. They fell on their face before a holy God because He fixed it. Well, say they, he did. There were 9 others that didn't. We're sick people, right? We're sick. Sin is a sickness. It's ugly. It's nasty. It's not how God created us. And it can't be in the presence of a holy God. And it's only those who cry out to God and say, Jesus, I need this. I need healing. I need help. It's only those that are healed. And then out of all of those that say, yes, Jesus, I need your help and will you have mercy? How many will continue to be grateful and thankful for the rest of their life? So we're all challenged, aren't we? Those of us who are saved and those of us who are yet saved. Those of us who are still in our sickness. You can't say that you don't see Jesus. I just told you about him. I just showed you who he is. He's right there. Just call out and say, I need you. I need your mercy. The Bible tells us to repent and be baptized. That's how our healing, our sickness is healed, because we believe. You ready to sing? Let's stand together and sing. If you don't know that you can be saved, I'm telling you right now, you can be saved. You can be healed of your sin.